Welcome to Get Right for Sunday, a podcast designed to help you prepare for Sunday and beyond. I am Pastor Wright, and each week I have a conversation exploring the Bible readings for this upcoming Sunday. Join us as we discuss how the lessons are applied to our daily life in Christ. Welcome to Get Right for Sunday. I am Pastor Wright, and today I have a special guest. His name is Shane, and he is excited. Good morning, Shane. How are you doing?
Good.
So, what would you like the entire world, no pressure, to know about Shane?
I'm a student here at Holy Cross. I've been baptized here, and I have 3 other brothers.
That is awesome. I really cannot tell you how impressed I am that you brought up baptism. I had to give read a paper, and I was told, tell about yourself. And that's always a weird thing, because what do you say? And I remember standing there, and I was terrified because I wasn't prepared for that. And I said, I'm baptized. And the guy that was introducing me said, that's good enough. And we moved on. So baptismal identity, awesome. I love it. Well, today I have invited Shane to come on the podcast to discuss the reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. We're getting up there in Pentecost numbers, and we're trekking along. And we have Jesus teaching his disciples, and he's going to tell a parable. And I think this is interesting because we got St. Peter. And Peter's one of my favorite disciples because he makes me feel good with his questions. And he asks this interesting question, and this is Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and said, and this is a question, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I will forgive him? As many as 7 times. Okay, so I really don't think Peter has... He may have brothers, but I don't think he's talking about his actual siblings. He's talking about just people who have sinned against him. But I'm going to pick on you with all your brothers. How many times do you forgive your brothers?
As many as I need to.
Really? You're going to go with this? That's pretty impressive. Because I was thinking when I was reading this, I was thinking of how often I have 2 younger sisters. And I was thinking, how often did I really forgive them? How often did I really think about the things that they did against me, and did I forgive them? And I remember a couple of times, but I appreciate that's a good answer. So let me pick on that a little bit more. This was something rolling around in my head. What if pick whatever brother, just in your mind, what if they did something that just really made you mad? So they did whatever, and they don't feel sorry for it. They're not upset about how mad you are or whatever. Would you forgive them?
Eventually.
Eventually. Okay. Why would you eventually forgive them?
Because they're my brother.
Okay. I like that line of thinking. But wouldn't it be good for you to be the bigger man and not forgive them in the sense of disciplining them because they don't feel sorry for it? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do, to withhold forgiveness until they really felt sorry, until they really understood what they did affected you and how bad they are? Wouldn't that be the responsible thing for you to do, to withhold forgiveness?
Well, I want them to get better.
Okay.
But I would eventually forgive them.
Okay. I really appreciate you sticking with that answer because I really wrestled with this because I was thinking, again, discipline. Don't we need to teach them? If they don't feel sorry for whatever they did wrong, how will they know what they did wrong if I just forgive them? So I wrestled with this. And with this, we actually have an answer. And it's silly to say, Jesus has the answer. So he tells this great parable, and I'll read it real quick. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made, to be made. So the servant fell on his knees and implored him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave his debt. But when the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servants fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me. I will pay you." He refused and went and put him into prison until he should pay his debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly displeased, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So Shane, I'm going to go backwards on this one. Verse 35, you got Jesus talking about God the Father. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So here's the question I have for you. With that parable that Jesus just told, how do we apply this to our life? How are we to think about what Jesus says? Because I have to say, and being truthful and honest, that's a little scary when there's ever judgment, when God says, "I will do this to you if you do this or if you don't do that." What do you take from that?
That you should forgive people.
Why?
Because if you don't, then no one will forgive you.
Okay. So very good. Let me push on that a little bit. Are we just to say the words? So you kick me in the shin and say, "Oh, forgive me." And I say, "Okay, I forgive you." And that seems like a transaction. Should we do it that way?
No, you should correct your actions.
Okay, so we should change our actions. And I like this. There's a great word for it. It's called repenting, and it means turning away. So we turn away from whatever act, sinful act, but we turn to God. But now let me push this a little bit further. How do we do this? Because I want to just say the words. I just want to go through the motions. Because again, I think of something that my sisters did to me. And of course, I was like, my parents made me say, "You're forgiven." And so guess what I did? "You're forgiven." I didn't mean it. And I know my sister, because she had, "Say you're sorry." And she said, "I'm sorry." Nobody meant it. So what does that mean? Because you said from your heart, you're supposed to mean it. How do we do this?
You stop what you're doing.
Okay. Then what?
Then you forgive them.
So you want to make this a whole process where life stops and you deal with this sin, this inaction or action that took place that offended, hurt, or did whatever. You want to stop the whole world for that. And when I say whole world, it's just, you know, the life that's taking place.
Well, you should correct what you're doing. If someone doesn't like it, you should correct it.
Okay. I can't agree with you more, and especially that last statement, forgive your brother from your heart. And this is really hard because, again, I want to just say the words and move on. I actually don't want to deal with it. I don't particularly like conflict, and let's just be okay. So is it okay to sin?
No.
Okay. That wasn't a trick question. So why do we say when somebody does something wrong to us, why do we say, "It's okay"?
Because we want to forgive them and that everybody's a sinner.
Okay. But then why do we say it's okay? Like if you bump into somebody, you say, oh, I'm sorry. What do they say? It's okay. Why do we do that?
Because we want to forgive them.
Okay. I like that. And I like the idea that with that, it's kind of the thing, that's what we're supposed to say. It's not confrontational, because who likes to point out other people's sins? I know I don't. But now going to the whole story, what do you think of that? What do you think of Jesus' example of the servant who's forgiven this huge, huge amount of money, but then demands somebody pay him that tiny, small amount? What do you think of that guy?
Well, if he was forgiven, then he should be able to forgive someone else because of that he did the same thing.
Okay. Why? You're absolutely right. But expand that a little bit more.
Because he forgave the person that is demanding more money.
Mm-hmm.
So he should be able to forgive someone that is demanding less money and should be able to forgive him.
Okay. So the parable doesn't tell us this. How do you think the guy, the servant who was forgiven this huge debt, how do you think he felt when the king, the master said, your debt is forgiven? How do you think he felt?
Really good.
Okay. So if you feel really good, why would you turn around and do something so bad?
I don't know.
I don't either. I was hoping you had an answer. I don't get it. So let's apply this to our lives. So who's our master?
God.
God, absolutely. Did he forgive you?
Yes.
Does he forgive you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. What does he forgive you?
All of our sins.
All of our sins. And you're absolutely right. So if our sins are forgiven, and our sins, as we have discussed, been told, as Scripture has revealed to us, it is our rebellious acts. It has earned us God's wrath. But Jesus shows up and forgives our sins and takes that wrath away and gives us heaven, gives us everlasting life. How should we feel about that, first of all?
Well, feel happy that there's someone that forgives all that we have done wrong.
Absolutely. Not only should we be happy, we should rejoice. We should be excited. We're free. We don't have to worry about, and Jesus points this out, we don't have to worry about like being jailed, being bound, chained to our sin. Our sins are broken, our chains are broken, and we're free. And so we should be happy. So with that, how are we to treat one another?
We should forgive each other of something that they did wrong and hope that they would get better of whatever they did.
And I love your statement, hope they get better. And the reason I appreciate that is because you, Shane, do not demand, I have forgiven you, you will do better, you will be better. Why did you say hope? Because I think that's an amazing statement.
Because you're not sure if the person's going to get better.
Okay.
You just hope that he does.
Okay. So what about you? You've been forgiven. Have you gotten better? Have you stopped sinning?
No, I haven't stopped sinning.
Okay. So, and the reason I ask that, and especially in your statement, hope they get better, one of the reasons we go to church, one of the reasons we read the Bible, devotions, Bible study, all this, is we hope to get better, that we can face temptation and say no. I promise you will continue to sin. I will continue to sin. But we can get better about that. We can stop sinning as much. If we know this is wrong, should we do it?
No.
And then we'll struggle in that. There'll be temptations. But I really like your statement, hope. Because that's a lot of grace giving to someone else. But it reflects the grace that has been given to you by God. I really love that answer. All right, well, let me ask this. This is a big question. What else do you see in this text? Anything else jump out? Anything you like? Anything you don't like?
I do like that the master, after he saw that the other person didn't forgive the others, that he had put him in jail so he could learn that you should forgive one another for all that you have done wrong.
Absolutely. And that would be justice. And that is executed for the benefit and for the promise of what we get to look forward to. God is a just God who will give and deliver according to his will. And that is why we run to the mercy seat of Christ for forgiveness. Shane, I thank you for your insight. I thank you for taking time out of class to come and hang out with me. Any last parting nuggets of wisdom you want to drop on the world?
No.
No? Okay. Well, thank you much, and we'll see you later. Thank you for listening to Get Right for Sunday. I know that your time is valuable. And of all the things that you could have watched or listened to, you have chosen to deepen your biblical understanding with Get Right for Sunday. Would you take a moment to give a 5-star rating of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform? This actually helps others to be able to find Get Right for Sunday. Again, thank you for your time, your prayers, and support.